Good morning. Well, that sounds pretty loud. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
That was weak. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Amen. That's a little better. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to take a look this morning at a few things that, as I observe the world and people around me and everyday interactions and for a lifetime of, there's lots of things that lots of people want, and there's lots of things that people need. But these two main things we're going to look at today, I think, are things that the whole world is searching for and needs more than anything. And obviously, it's Jesus, but what comes with Jesus is these things we're going to take a look at this morning. And this message is very much for the believer. And it's very much for those who are seeking, the unbeliever, the one who is lost. And this passage we're going to look at today is probably more than any other scripture or passage that I have personally ministered to other people, more than John 3:16, more than the Romans Road, more than anything else. This passage I've delivered to more people. And it's very telling, and we'll see in a little while, it just shows you the state of people's hearts and minds and lives and the need that they have. And so if you would just pray with me this morning as we get ready. The title of my message this morning is Surpassing Peace. Surpassing Peace. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you give us surpassing peace. And we thank you that you, the God of all creation, want to meet with us today and are meeting with us this day. And we pray that you would speak through your word to us, to our hearts, oh God, to our weary hearts, to our broken hearts, to our strengthened hearts. Wherever we're at this morning, Father, I ask that by your Spirit, you would come and you would meet each and every person here. You know just what they need to hear. If it's just one word that wasn't even intended by me to have a purpose, you had a purpose for it. And so I pray that right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Amen. Amen. If you could turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 4 to 7 today. And this is really where we're gonna spend most of our time in these verses, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. Now I need to tell you, if you don't already know this, and most of you, many of you already know, that this is written by the Apostle Paul. And these words, like many of the letters that Paul wrote, were written from prison. So Paul is in prison in Rome. Okay, I'll say that again. He's writing from prison. All right, now just for a moment, if you put yourself in that position, you might consider yourself, man, in prison, that's a pretty low place to be, right? All kinds of emotions and feelings, and maybe feeling sorry for yourself if you didn't deserve to be there, maybe just feeling like, man, what happened? My life is worthless. I'm in prison right now. But Paul, time and time again, we see just this unbelievable presence of the Holy Spirit in Paul. Paul's probably my favorite Bible character because not only was he the chief of sinners, which any of us could put our place there, but he loved Jesus. And all he wanted to do was tell people about Jesus. Despite his circumstance, he radiated Christ. And so from the prison cell, he writes this. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. You've all heard the verse before at some point in time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Not rejoice in the Lord when it's convenient. Not rejoice in the Lord when things are going well. But rejoice in the Lord always. And what I want you to think about a little bit this morning, is that you? Do you rejoice in the Lord always? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? I'm going to say this very graciously this morning, but I really believe in my spirit that if we lack the joy of the Lord on a regular basis, not to say we don't have bad days, not to say that trials and catastrophes and things come into our life that we can't be down some days. Look at David, right? Read some of the Psalms. You can see he had some really low periods in time. But in the midst of that, he rejoiced. And so I believe we need to be real with ourselves as believers, those of us who are believers. If we lack this joy of the Lord, here it is. Take this for what it is, please. Do we really have the Lord? We need to always examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith, Paul said in Corinthians. Right? Do I say I know Jesus, and I say I follow Jesus, but does the joy of Christ rest in me? And it might be a very hard question for some of us, but it's only going to lead us to Christ if we would be real with it. And so do you have that joy of the Lord always? Can you say, as Paul did, rejoice in the Lord always? And you probably know the story too of Paul, and he's in prison with Silas, actually in Philippi, in Macedonia. And I'm just going to go there real briefly. Acts chapter 16, you can go there with me if you want. You can stay where you are. But Acts 16, and this is Paul, once again, in prison. And he says this, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They're in prison, they just got, and they're singing and praying, singing hymns, rejoicing. And what happens, we don't have time to talk, this is a great message. I encourage you to read Acts 16 if you want to be encouraged by an amazing story. But this leads to the salvation of the jailer, because God does a miraculous thing. But in the midst of the situation, Paul was able to rejoice. Because he wasn't focused. It really, what it comes down to is perspective and focus. Am I focused on my situation? Or am I focused on the God who desires to be in my situation? Are my eyes on Jesus? Or are my eyes on the prison cell? And for Paul, we can clearly see his eyes were fixed on Jesus. And that allowed him to be able to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Good song, Rejoice in the Lord Always. That's a good one, right? That's an old one, Nick. We haven't sang that in a long time. But do you rejoice? Or I should, maybe we'll look at it this way for a minute. What do you rejoice over? Or what brings you happiness? Right? Because the world's got lots of happy things. Right? But happiness is temporary. Joy comes from within. Happiness is only dependent on your circumstance. Joy is regardless of your circumstance. Right? And there's lots of happy people, and you could go to ball games and TV and concerts and things, and people are jumping all over the place, even Christians, so excited. And you come into the house of God, and sometimes it's almost like, well, where are we? Right? The joy of the Lord should lift us up, should excite us, should be contagious to those around us. And granted, we're all different personalities. You do have those people that are just like bouncing off the wall all the time, crazy, wild. Hallelujah, Jesus loves you, right? That's them. That's how God. But despite who your character is, do you have that joy? Is it contagious? Do your neighbors see it? Your coworkers see it? The house of God, the brothers and sisters in Christ, do they see that joy in you? And that's the first thing the world desires, is joy. Because there's so much in this world to steal your joy. You wake up in the morning and it's just, we're bombarded by the news and what's happening and all the prayer requests and things. So many things can just, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Right? And if he can steal our joy, then He's got a good step ahead of us. Right? But we need to have the joy of the Lord, because we can't give out what we don't have. And so we got to possess this joy of the Lord so that it can be our strength, so that people can see it, so that people want what we have. And one other quick story in the book of Acts, I love this one too. Acts chapter 5. Now Peter and John were just imprisoned. Again, carry the theme here of imprisonment, which actually that's going to lead right into what we're going to talk about in a little while. John chapter 5, verse 39. Actually, verse 40 we're going to look at. And when they had called in the apostles, this was the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, these men who were just arrested, and they called them in. It says, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. Come in, we're going to beat you. Stop doing what you're doing and go out. So you would think, all right, we just got beaten and arrested. They said to stop talking about Jesus. Let's be quiet. We're hurt. We're bruised. Look at our situation. Woe is us. This stinks. Why are we doing it? Why are we telling people about Jesus? Why bother? Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. They went out rejoicing. And what were they rejoicing over? Is that they were put in the same sentence as Jesus. That they were recognized as having been a part of who Jesus was. And that caused them to rejoice. Do you this morning consider, are you amazed at the fact that Jesus has counted you worthy to be a part of his family? Do you rejoice today in what he's saved you from? And I think oftentimes we need to reflect on that. The simple fact of, wow, what has he done? Amazing grace, right? We sing it. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that in itself, that reality, that truth in itself should exude in us a joy. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And as you recite, that's the intention of psalms and songs and hymns, is to put in us that joy, to put in us, to set our eyes heavenward, to put our eyes off us and put our eyes on him. Right? That's the point of the scriptures, right? To cause us to not be fixed on our situations, but to get fixed on him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, or let your gentleness be known to everyone. You know, see, when you have that joy of the Lord, like I said earlier, it's contagious. It overflows. And so as believers, we need to have this joy. And then it says, let your gentleness be known to everybody. How do we treat others around us? Do we take that joy and do we let it be known to everyone? Do we walk in gentleness? Do we speak differently? Do we treat differently? So rejoice this morning. Always. And again, I say rejoice. And let the gentleness, see, when you have the joy of the Lord, you also have the mind of Christ, right? And we have that gentleness, right? Jesus was very gentle, strong and mighty, powerful, but gentle. And make it known. Make your gentleness be known, right? We know that's done most by our actions, by what we do, not by what we say. But let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near. And what we're doing here is we're building up, and we're going to spend a bulk of our time on the next two verses, but as we rejoice and we let our gentleness be known, is that Paul's reminding the Philippian church here. He's saying, God is near to you. And as long as you keep the Lord near to you, you will have reason to rejoice. And as you have reason to rejoice, it will allow you to let your gentleness be known to everybody. But I want to remind you, listen, the Lord is near to you. As far as he may seem from you, maybe in your current situation, no matter what's going on, the Lord is near. And I tell people all the time, is he doesn't go anywhere. It's us who move away. He's always near to those who call upon him, who seek his face, who turn towards him, because he didn't go anywhere. But the Lord is near. He's right there, waiting to be called upon, waiting to be had. Will you access him? Right? What an amazing thing that he's near to us. The Lord is near to us. And I think even of James, know how much you know this verse, probably heard it at least, but consider it pure what? Consider it pure joy when everything is going well. No, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Because they will do what? They will increase your faith. They will cause you to draw nearer to God. And so if we could grab hold of this, I believe as believers, if we can grow in this idea that our trials and our situations and our difficulties and our challenges and the good times and the bad times are just all opportunities to draw nearer to the Lord, I think we would embrace them more. I think we would see him for what it's worth as being the hand of God in our lives. And we would be able to more often rejoice in who and what our God is and what he wants to do in us. Because there's people who are hurting, and in this congregation, there's people who are hurting today. And you're saying, man, God feels so far away from me. I really can't, I'm having a hard time rejoicing. It's hard for me to find any joy in my situation. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what I've done. Yeah, but God does. And he says, rejoice always. I'm always near to you. I'm there in the midst of the storm, of the fire. I've got you. Look, fix your eyes on me, not on the situation. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. And as we begin to turn our eyes upon Jesus, right? There's a song for everything, right? But turn your eyes upon Jesus. So joy, do we have it? Will we give it? It's what the world needs. We're going to go into the next big thing. This is really more than even the joy piece. Go back to Philippians here. Verse 6, it says, the Lord is at hand. Here it is, you ready? Do not be anxious about anything. Really? Rejoice always. Now, does God give us more than we can handle? No. And in his spirit, we are victorious in all things. And so, these aren't suggestions Paul is making. These are actually commandments. He doesn't say, I recommend you try to rejoice no matter what. Right? Just give it a try. God will help you. If you can't get it, it's okay. No, rejoice in the Lord always. That's a command. I'm not an English guy, all right? But there's probably some English things the way. That's a commandment. Rejoice. I'm telling you. I'm not suggesting to you. And then he goes on and he takes another. First, I got to rejoice in the Lord always. And then I got to not be anxious about anything? Are you serious? Do not be anxious about anything. Now, if I asked you this morning to give me a list about what you're anxious about, right? Everyone would probably come out with, oh man, let me tell you, how much time you got, right? Because this, listen, but anxiety, I'm going to ask Anna to come up here for a minute. We're going to take a look at what anxiety is for a minute. But anxiety is something that I sadly observe, stay there for a minute, Anna, inside the church and outside the church. People are gripped by anxiety. And what anxiety does, hang on, I go like this. All right, this is Anna. Those of you who don't know, my daughter. This is what anxiety does. This is a picture of anxiety. Stand right here. Let me take this. So anxiety. Anna was nice and free a moment ago. But when you shrink wrap a person, Anna, what's happening to you right now?
I'm getting trapped.
You're getting trapped. And Anna is getting trapped. And I'm getting dizzy. But anxiety, this is what anxiety does. Your cares and concerns of the world begin to wrap around you and around you so that you can't move and sometimes you can't breathe. And so, whoa, I really am dizzy. And here you have a picture of anxiety. And there are people who struggle greater with anxiety. And God knows that, and He's near. And there's people who maybe don't struggle as much. But anxiety has the potential to wrap you up. I don't know if you caught what Anna said. It traps you. And you feel like some people to the extent where you can't even wake up in the morning. But what happens to anxiety is it begins to rule every area of your life. And you can't really do anything. Anna can't really do much right now. If I asked her to run, she would probably trip. Anna, do a jumping jack. It's not happening. Because she's gripped with anxiety. What we're going to look at in a minute is I kind of got to jump ahead only because I can't leave her tied up this whole time. I could. But what happens when we come to Jesus and when we allow Jesus, we draw near to Jesus, the anxiety goes away. Oh, pretty good at this. And what happens, Anna? Raise your hands. So listen, this is what Jesus wants to do in us. Set us free. It is for freedom, my brothers, that you could sit down on it. Thank you. That Christ has set us free. So live free then. Anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything. So how in the world am I going to not be anxious about anything? Well, God gives us a solution for everything, doesn't He? Do not be anxious for anything. But instead, look, don't be anxious. I'm telling you, and then you get anxious over not being anxious. Right? Do not be anxious. How am I going to not be anxious, Lord? Just be quiet for a minute and listen to me. Do not be anxious about anything. But instead, listen, here's the formula. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Stop for a minute. Anxiety comes. Pray. Instantly. As soon as you feel that wave of anxiety come over, stop and pray. Whatever the form that prayer takes, just pray. God, I need you. Oh God, help me. Jesus, pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray with and supplicate. I don't know if Pastor Craig touched on this last week. He may have or not. Supplication is an actual request. Other translations say by prayer and petition. Stop and pray. God, help me. God, I need your strength. God, I can't do this. God, give me what I need right now to get through this. God, help me to breathe. God, help me to think straight. I'm asking you to move in this situation. I can't do it. Stop. But by prayer and supplication, there's another key. It's connected to the rejoice. With thanksgiving. That's the hard one. That's the hard one. To give thanks despite what's causing the anxiety. But that's a key. In all things, rejoice always. In all things, give thanks. You gotta find something to give thanks for. And there may be those moments where you just feel like you have nothing to be thankful for, which is a lie. Right? We all know that's a lie. But if nothing else, consider what Jesus has done for you. Wow, that's something to give thanks for. I'm telling you, that'll turn the tide real quick. You begin to consider Jesus and all that he's done for you and all that he wants to do for you. That'll begin to change your heart real fast. That'll begin to change your perspective on your situation and what's causing you anxiety real quick. Maybe not real quick for some of us, but it'll begin. It's a shift. It's a perspective. Oh God, I can't. But Jesus, you set me free. Quote scripture. That's the power of scripture memory. The Lord is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. Right? And you begin to speak the word of God over your situation, and peace begins to come in. With thanksgiving, find something to be. Stop. Pray. Ask. Give thanks. And watch what happens. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Like I said earlier, I have shared this verse more than any other verse in the Bible. I love it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Ready for this? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? And the peace of God, again, other translations say that transcends. The peace of God that you and I can't even fathom. We can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. There's no way I should have peace right now in this situation. But I do. And people look at you and say, there's no way you should have peace right now. Why do you have peace? Because of Jesus. Because I rejoice in the Lord always, and I give thanks. And despite my situation, I pray and I ask with thanksgiving. And let me tell you, this peace of God, I can't explain it to you. I can only offer it to you. And it's found in Jesus. But see, you can't know peace unless you know Christ. You've got to have Jesus. Because when we have Jesus, we have this peace, this unmistakable, unbelievable peace that transcends everything, that surpasses all, this surpassing peace. And isn't that what the world needs? It wouldn't take us long to identify individuals we know who lack joy and who lack peace in their lives. And you know what? Maybe it's some of us here this morning. And God's saying, I want to do a work in you. Man, I love you so much. I want to see you walk in the fullness of my joy. For so many years, you've struggled. But today might be the day. I just want to set you free. I want you to walk in a new joy and a new peace. Because that's why I came. If you guys go with me to the book of John for a moment. The book of John, verse 14. And this is the end. This is the last couple days Jesus has with the disciples. They're starting to somewhat understand what's going to happen to him. He's preparing them for his crucifixion, for leaving them. And he says this to them. And he says this to us today. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced. Did you catch that? If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Peace I give to you, and peace I leave with you. And I don't give you as the world gives. It's a heavenly peace that Jesus offers us. It can only be found through the shed blood of Christ. It can only be found in the presence of this mighty God, this transcending, surpassing peace. And Jesus says, I give it to you and I leave it with you through my Holy Spirit. And I will fill you again and again and again with this peace. And although you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And although you walk through the raging storm, you won't drown. It won't overcome you. It won't overtake you. Because you have this peace. And you possess that peace. You got to possess the peace. You got to have it. You got to walk in it. You got to tap into it. Right? And I think of the story. We all know the story, right? Of the disciples and the storm, right? And Jesus is sleeping. And they're all like, what is this guy doing? Does he realize what is happening right now? Do we want to take a look at it quick? Let's take a look at it. Go to Mark chapter 4. And then we'll wrap this up. Mark 4, verse 37. Mark 4, 37. Again, these guys have seen the miracles of Jesus. Mark 4, 37. And it says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. Sounds like anxiety, doesn't it? And listen, maybe you can relate to that, not physically on a boat, but maybe that's how you feel. The waves crashing, the waves of life crashing against you. And the water beginning to fill the boat. And that would be an anxious moment. How do you respond in those moments? And we'll see how the disciples responded. Guess what? Paul hadn't written Philippians 4 yet, so they were anxious. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was asleep, who? Jesus, in the stern. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Have you ever felt that way? In the midst of your situation? Jesus, don't you even care? Where are you? I thought you were this loving God. I thought you promised to always be with me. How could you allow me to go through this? Do you realize what's going on? And God says, yeah, I see it all. I see it all. And guess what? I'm near to you. The living God was right there in the same boat. But guess what they were focused on? They didn't say to themselves, wow, look at this storm. This is crazy. The boat's filling up. But the living God is right next to us. So we have nothing to fear. Why worry? Come on, waves, bring it on. We've got Jesus. But they said, God is in the boat with us. But these waves are really big. And the boat is filling up. And so their attention and their energies were spent on the situation, not on the God of the situation. Jesus, wake up. Do you know what's going on? Verse 39. And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Whew, I just got chills. Peace, be still. And then there was a great calm. Peace, be still. The Lord wants to do a work in us. And he wants to bring us this peace. And he wants to be able to diffuse the anxiety in us. And he wants to fill us with his joy. Unmistakable joy. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory. There we go again. Do you have it? Do you want it? Do you need more of it? As we close this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. Before the Lord to cry out. To ask. Maybe you need some of us to come and just pray with you. To lay a hand on you and pray with you. Maybe you've been in that overwhelming situation. And you need that peace. Jesus says, come, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peace, be still, and a calm came. Jesus wants to minister. And I just want to touch on this. Maybe you walk in this already. And you said, wow, this is a good message for someone who deals with anxiety and lack of joy. But by God's grace, I walk in this already. And so this is a great message. It doesn't really apply to me. Yes, it does. Because you need to give that away. You need to demonstrate that peace and that joy. You need to be that hand that comes alongside your coworker, your family member, your brother in Christ, sister in Christ. And say, God, you know, let me tell you, power of a testimony. When I went through a trial, let me share with you how God met me. Be the encourager. Be the hand of God to others. So it very much is for everybody. It's for all of us. And for the unbeliever who may be here saying, that sounds really good. How do I get it? Jesus. Come to Jesus. Lay down your pride. Lay down yourself. Today is the day of salvation, God said. Come to Jesus. He doesn't take away all the problems. He doesn't snap his fingers and everything is great. But he says, I'll be with you in the boat. I will be with you in the storm. And this peace that transcends all understanding will guard not only your heart, but your mind. And why does he say our minds? Because the mind is where it all takes place. The devil's playground. That's where the anxiety takes place, the thinking and the overthinking and the underthinking and the everything. But he says, I will guard your mind. Not only your heart, which is the wellspring of life, but I will guard your mind. Take every thought captive and do what with it? Make it submissive under Christ. That's, again, that moment of truth. That anxiety comes in. Let me take that thought captive. Begin to pray. Change directions. And experience the peace of God. Will you pray with me this morning? And I know from time to time we do this, and it's as the Spirit's leading, and I feel led by the Spirit this morning to open up the front. You just maybe need to get on your knees. Maybe you need to just stand. And yes, you could do that in your seat. But maybe today is a day you need to just come up and just say, "Oh God, help me. Jesus, would you give me that joy? I want it so badly. I need it so badly." If you want to, as I'm praying, if you want to come up front, we'd love to pray with you. If you just need time with the Lord on your own, come forward. God wants to do something in you. This isn't about anybody but you and Jesus. He cares enough. We just keep our eyes closed and keep our hearts in an attitude of reverence and is he near to you today? Are you near to him? Is your heart troubled and anxious? Do you need that peace that transcends all understanding this morning? Do you need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Jesus. I encourage you to not ignore the Spirit working in your heart. Whether it be in your seat or up front, really doesn't matter. But don't let the opportunity pass for the Spirit to give that peace to you and to leave it with you. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can rejoice in not only the death, but in the resurrection of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our hope and ever-present help in times of trouble. That you are faithful, that you are true, that you are good. God, I pray that you help each of us to rejoice always. That you would allow us to let our gentleness be known to all. God, that we not be anxious. Oh God, how we need you for that. But we, by your Spirit, would pray and petition you with thanksgiving. And we each would experience this transcending, surpassing peace that's found in you. So Lord, would you, by your grace, fill us with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord everywhere we go. In church, out of church, at home, at work, in the store. That we be filled with the joy of Jesus. And people would see the peace of God in us. That we would walk into a room and your presence would be known and would be felt because we carry you. And so we love you this morning. Lord, I ask that you would take these words of yours. God, I pray even right now in the Spirit that they not be snatched by the enemy. But they would go deep in the hearts of your people. And you would water them. God, and you would bring about the fruit that you desire in our hearts. All to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you can go out reverently and quietly, as there's a couple people still praying up here, if you want to come up and need prayer,